When I was born, my dad planted a mulberry tree. And as I grew, it grew. And by the time I was big enough to climb up into its branches, it was strong enough to take my weight. I had a special branch in my mulberry tree. It was worn smooth and it was straight, and I liked to sit on it. It was worn out from my hands, feet and bum, because I liked to sit on it and pretend that my mulberry tree was one in a jungle, an African jungle, a steamy African jungle, and it was full of wild things. And I was one of them. And I would sit hiding behind those heart-shaped leaves, and I would smell the humans. But I would sit so still, they didn't even know I was there. But one day, a family bought the land next to ours, and we watched as the weeds and the grass was mown flat, and the timber skeleton was built, and the golden bricks were laid. And the Andrews family were a friendly family. We soon became very good friends, but there were some big differences between our families. Because the Andrew family were neat, tidy, and particular. And they did not, well, Mr. Ed Andrews, I should say, did not appreciate fat, purple, splodgy mulberries landing on his gerbera patch neatly edged in concrete. So one day, when we came home from 6 weeks at Burleigh Heads, all sunburnt and relaxed, we came home to discover that someone had committed murder in our backyard. My beautiful mulberry tree wasn't beautiful anymore. It was a stump. In fact, it was a ringbark stump. I wanted to call up, "Mr. Ed Andrews, how could you cut down my special tree with my special branch? It wasn't hurting your jeepers." But we were a polite family. So I just went to my room and I wept. And I wept rivers and lakes. The mulberry tree was dead, but it lived on in my heart. I grew up. It took a long, long, long time. And eventually I met a man to settle down with and have a family. He had a ridiculously large hat. He liked doing poetry. He had a shiny white ute. Actually, it wasn't shiny at all, but it was a white ute. And he liked planting trees. So we bought a house in Mullumbimby, just near the beach, with a yard large enough to plant an edible forest. And we soon set about planting every centimetre of the garden, but reserved one corner for you know what. Because on my son's first birthday, we got the placenta out of the freezer. We dug a hole. We planted it. We planted the mulberry tree on top of it, this little innocent baby mulberry tree on there. And we stuck it in an extremely infertile and clay-bound corner of the yard and watched it. We had a little circle and we blessed it, but that little tree needed a lot more than a blessing. Because I had forgotten that a year ago, we had heavily salted that placenta, because you have to understand that in Byron Shire, we like to be very close to our children. We co-sleep, we breastfeed for about 15 years, and we don't cut the cord after the baby is born, because that would be too traumatic. Okay, by the time I had a second child, I said, "I'll cut it!" But the first one, no. I had 3 days where my son could be at one with his placenta. Which meant you had to heavily salt the placenta so that it didn't stink. You can imagine how my Brisbane nieces felt about being offered a baby to hold that was attached to a placenta. And you can imagine how the baby mulberry tree felt about a salty placenta. All my dreams of my son being at one with this mulberry tree, climbing into it and hiding, and his genetic material would have been in the mulberry tree. They would have been all spiritually connected. It all went to the tip in the ute. And there was no space left to plant another tree. What would I do? But luckily, I had a neighbour, a very different neighbour this time. She was a funky dyke who liked art and who liked planting too many trees, just like me. So we were really good friends. And she had planted a mulberry tree on her nature strip, even though she didn't like mulberries, for everyone to share. Now, it's that kind of spindly for a long time. But that year, there was a flood in Mullumbimby. It flooded so much there was water up to here in my garage, and that little baby mulberry tree began to grow. And it had its first crop of mulberries that year, and the next year it had more, until the branches were strong enough that all the kids in the neighbourhood would gather in that mulberry tree and sit in the branches like chattering monkeys feasting on monkey... Oh, I'm sorry, that's a different story. On mulberries. And I know that you know what colour their lips, hands and feet were. And my children, Tamlin and his little sister Layla, were among them. But I've got my eye on one of the branches that's kind of straight, and I'm waiting for that day when that branch is going to be strong enough to take my 50-year-old weight. And on that day, when the street is quiet and all the kids have gone to school, I'm going to climb up into that branch and I'm going to hide behind the heart-shaped leaves. I'm going to smell humans and I'm going to sit so still, the humans won't even know I'm there.